Hello and welcome to the Voice Magazine podcast. In line with International Women's Day and Women's History Month, all of the women from Voice will be taking over the podcast for the entirety of March to share their experiences and what it means to be a woman to them. Today we have Saskia.
Hi everyone, I'm Saskia and I am the assistant editor of Voice Mag.
So this week, you know, what a crazy week this has been. Where would you even like to begin? You know, we had International Women's Day on Monday. We had Meghan Markle on Tuesday. This entire situation with Sarah and how women are quite rightfully scared everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And how it ties to feminism and stuff as well.
Okay, so we can begin with the feminism.
No, I was just going to say that, like, if you think about the first wave of feminism, as much good as that did, it does come across like it leaves certain groups of women out. Like, say, from my experience, women of colour. So I'm not surprised that, you know, when the civil rights movement happened and the second wave of feminism happened and a lot more black women and other races as well telling their stories, sharing their experiences, like, it makes sense to me that these things go hand in hand. But I just can't believe that so many people can come out in support of all of, you know, these really important movements. But then at the same time, there is stuff like what happened to Sarah going on every single day. And I hate the fact a woman was found washed up like on the beach. Another woman and her child was murdered. I hate the fact that the only name that we remember is Sarah's, because it always comes down to all of these things will happen at once and there'll be one case that really gets the attention of the media and they'll run with it until the next best thing comes along. Sarah absolutely deserves this much attention, like without a doubt, because she deserves justice. But how long is this women's movement? They keep talking about the conversation that Sarah's murder has started, but it's like, well, how long until people get bored of this and then forget about it until the next Sarah gets found, you know, in pieces in the middle of nowhere? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just so terrifying to like women everywhere, but the sad thing is that it's not new, like you said.
But people act like it's new, and even the stuff with Meghan, because I know that that's so relevant as well. I mean, I know that she hasn't been murdered, but just the fact that she's essentially been terrorized by like the whole British media and British public and everything like that. Watching that interview, everybody was so shocked, but for me, I was just kind of like, well, who didn't think that the institution built on colonialism was going to be racist? You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, you know, look out, like bombshell. Like, no, it's really not. This is racism in England to women, to men, to whoever is just so covert. And I think, you know, for someone to just come out and say it the way that she did, that's what's more shocking. But the fact that it happened just isn't. It's like, well, duh. You know?
I just think it's so shocking, people's reactions. We had International Women's Day on Monday. People didn't believe her on Tuesday. We have this week has just been like so historically significant and we're not even at the end of the week yet.
Oh my God, I know.
And then we have at the protest last night in Clapham, you know, completely these women being arrested and kneeled on for attending a non-violent protest against violence from police officers.
I actually have the Observer in front of me right now because my auntie's actually in the newspaper today talking about the royal family. So I have the Observer in front of me and the image of this woman being kneeled on by the police. And I'm just like, are you stupid? Are you trying to incite like a riot? I don't understand what would make them think that a peaceful vigil needed to be policed this heavily, lockdown or not. Like, it's oh my God, it's just a complete show.
Yeah, I find it interesting just how much civil unrest in so many countries right now as well. I think it's a monthly basis of the citizens protesting against something.
Yeah, it's, I mean, from memory, these past maybe 2-3 years, I mean, just from memory, like, I can't remember there being another time where so many things were happening back to back and just constant. Like, every day when you wake up, there's somebody else protesting in another part of the world, and it's all relevant. Like, the reason they're protesting is all 100% supported, but it's just like, wow, like, what? Where are we going to be in a year?
I honestly have no clue. If you asked me that a year ago, I don't actually think I would have believed we would be in the situation we are now.
Not in the slightest. If you had asked us New Year's Eve 2019, oh, where do you think we'll be February, March 2021? Like, we probably would have said on holiday or something, living our best life as it goes, isn't it? They do say when people make plans, like, God laughs. So I guess, I mean, if you're religious, I'm not, but I always find that saying quite amusing because it always seems to be true.
That is true.
Yeah, I can't see what the future is going to hold for any of us. I mean, like, for me, I'm, you know, like, I'm Black and I'm female, and it's kind of like, oh, there's always, it feels like there's always something. If there's not something about women, there's something about Black people. If there's not something about Black people, there's something about women. But now I don't even think that those distinctions matter. It's like it's snowballing for everybody at any given time of day, and it's just, I don't know where any of us are going to be in a year or two. I really don't.
I mean, there are some who think that this summer will be the summer of love, part 3.
Ugh. Okay. I don't have an opinion on that, because I think people are jumping the gun. I understand.
Oh no, I do too.
Yeah, like, they're completely frustrated. Everyone's been at home, and what do you think it actually would have been like if we had been at home and, you know, the George Floyd protests didn't happen, all of this Meghan Markle stuff, like, what would we be, I don't know, what would it be if we were able to have, like, a peaceful, silent, non-dramatic lockdown?
There's so many people are suffering right now. There's so many people with added levels of anxiety, depression, everything about the future. And I definitely don't think that helps any of, like, the conflict in all of these situations. I mean, I don't use Facebook, but I'm well aware that everybody argues on there even more than they ever did.
But I find that so hard to believe, because Facebook is so... I feel like people have been arguing since its inception. Like, I do have to say, though, I don't think I've seen the internet go this crazy in a while after the Meghan Oprah Harry interview. Oh my goodness. It was, it was like a frenzy. It was insane. I couldn't keep up. I don't personally think that they considered, I don't know if they considered how detrimental, like, this interview was going to be for them, but the papers don't surprise me. They have been gunning for her since the beginning. And with people like Piers, you know, British media the way it is, Piers Morgan on the TV, thank the Lord that he quit, I say, with, like, bunny air quotes. Like, when it comes to Meghan, the fact that she's mixed, the fact that she turned him down, let's not forget.
Yeah.
That whole rejection thing, I just think Meghan was the one category that it was just... anything goes in his mind.
It seems so silly. He was willing to lose his job over one person who's not even in his life.
I know. They were friends, what, years ago? And I'm sorry, Piers, don't you have a wife? Why are you so stuck on Meghan and a daughter? And you're, you know... And what was it he said? I believe in freedom of speech, and if I have to land on my sword just to protect that, then blah blah blah. If that was really the reason behind you saying what you said, you wouldn't have quit. Your Piers Morgan, like, you know, everybody hates you. That's probably what gets him out of bed in the morning. But I think he knew that this time, like, that he'd gone way too far. How people like him get careers is just beyond me. Who gave this man a platform? It's criminal, honestly. It's so, and he's not, this isn't new either. He's always been disgusting.
Yeah, I think, especially when you're, who gave him a job? I feel like it's very representative of, I suppose, like, England, what, 40 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. And obviously he's just not changed from that period. But then, you know, has England...
Exactly. I think in England's case, it's almost like nostalgia and tradition and all of that stuff, like the enemy of progress. Like, even with the royal family, the stuff that Meghan was saying about they take away your passport, she felt like she was trapped. And even the fact that you're not really allowed to leave, like, all of this, it's just, and think about it, like, people look up to the royal family in England. So they, whether they like it or not, they have an example to set. You know, the fact that they're all white, there's no other races, there's not any diversity at all. And in my opinion, that's all done by design. So like I said, again, makes no sense to me why everybody was so surprised by the comments that this mysterious person made about Meghan's baby.
Yeah, speaking of how it is in England, I raised the point that the sad, like, question is not, you know, to any woman in your life, it's not, have you ever been sexually harassed? Which obviously this shocking 97% of women have been. But the more astonishing question is, how old were you when it first happened?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's really sad. So there's a group of schoolgirls, 11 to 15, who are now organising this grassroots movement because they don't feel safe on the street. That's just so sad that that's the state of what's going on in our own country.
I think it's obviously disgusting that the girls at 11 to 15 years of age need to even be thinking about such things, but that's something that we can't change. But the thing is that it would be amazing if the boys 11 to 15 years old were also having to, you know, think about these things, coming up with ways of how not to, you know, ever be on any woman's list of guys who's ever been a creep to her. It's the imbalance that irritates me. Girls are, you know, there's another group, I believe, whether it's they should teach racial politics in school or not, that article that I did with Teo. These are another group of schoolgirls, you know, making a movement, doing really good things, and you don't see anything from boys in that respect. And it all comes down to education. Like, girls aren't taught, they're not taught how to protect themselves, but boys aren't taught not to be that kind of man either.
I have seemed to notice as well, it's usually the guys that have grown up with sisters and surrounded by these women that know how to correctly act and behave normally around girls and women. So I think there's particularly, you know, the boys that aren't growing up surrounded by those females and that female presence, they're the ones that are going to lack their education if they're not getting it at school.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about they didn't realise how much women had to go through to make themselves feel safe, then I can totally believe that, because why would they know unless, you know, they had a girlfriend who kind of brought it to their attention, or a sister or a cousin or whatever. There's a lot of things, a lot of posts on Instagram about how girls protect themselves. They don't go out alone at night, or, you know, don't get into a taxi alone. When they are in a taxi alone or at night, they're always making phone calls to their friends or their mom or whoever, so that they know that they're safe the whole time. I don't think that's the stuff that boys grasp or really understand.
Even consider, it's like that comment that the Baroness made, which, oh, maybe we should curfew all men till 6 p.m.
Maybe we should.
So many people I know were shocked by that. But it was funny. It was funny because that's basically what you're told as a girl. You know, if it's dark by 6 p.m, just don't go outside.
I know.
It's like an unspoken curfew.
I mean, I can't speak for other girls, but I feel quite lucky now as an adult, because my mum very much drilled these kinds of conversations like into me from a very young age. And as a teenager, I used to kind of resent her a little bit, like, why are you telling me this? Like, I'm gonna be fired, I'm also with my friends, blah, whatever. But now, as an adult, like, I'm so glad that I got that education, like, from a really early age. I mean, it annoyed me. It did make me grow up a lot faster than I think I should have. But in this world, I think that's what we need.
Yeah, it's definitely better to learn from wisdom than experience in this case.
Yeah, but sadly, for most of the girls, it's, you know, learning from experience.
That's why I think it's really sad as well. Even when it comes to women doing martial arts and self-defense, the majority of the women I've ever come across in the class don't consider it until they've already been attacked.
Yeah.
And you know, it's great that it's empowered them to go and do something, but I definitely feel that it would help things. I mean, you shouldn't have to do it, but it's also just the state of the world that we live in. I do think it would be beneficial to so many people if they just learn, you know, some of the basics.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, even not less drastic measures, because I don't think being able to defend yourself is drastic, but these conversations aren't open. People aren't willing, not everybody, but certain people aren't willing to talk to their kids about this. They're not willing to tell you about it in schools. Not at all. They spend how many years trying to teach us algebra? You remember being a teenager, I don't know about you, but in your school, was there that like one pervy teacher that everybody just used to like laugh about because he was a pervert, but we all found it funny?
No.
No?
No, I have heard this from a lot of other people, but I've not had that experience, no.
Okay, well, in my high school, I'm not going to name names because obviously, in my high school, there was this one PE teacher, and he used to wear these really baggy shorts, and he'd like have his legs open like the whole time. He'd put his arms around the girls, and it was things that they just like, you know, you just joke about, like, oh, ha ha ha, Mr. whatever his name. Do you know what I mean? Like things like, I refuse to believe that other female teachers or any other teachers in that school do not notice or have never overheard one of the kids taking the mick out of this one teacher because of the way that he acts.
I've heard so many of these stories, and particularly with that, you know, the schoolgirl movement that I was telling you about. They did research, and when I think it was something like 70% of cases of when schoolgirls go to teachers to complain about other boys, about teachers, it's just ignored, and they're told, well, you know, don't be so friendly, don't be so flirty, make sure you're not doing this and that.
Yeah, and I think what is also like really sad is like there's a whole generation of people who have all been misled. Did you ever have, like, you know, the police come into your school and tell you to beware of the stranger? Yeah, you know, it's always a guy figure with a mac on and like a creepy hat, like lurking in the shadows. Nobody tells you that a lot of the monsters in your life are going to be people that you know.
Yeah, I am on the Walking with Women article. I did some research for it. And although walking home is, you know, is so dangerous and it's very scary for women, it's not just the streets that you need to be cautious or wary of. as much as everyone is kind of, I feel that they're shocked to hear the safety measures that women take on the streets, you know, caution also has to carry over into other areas of your life. Only 1 in 10 attacks, I won't say only, but 1 in 10 attacks come from strangers. The 9 out of 10 are people you know. And that is so scary. I think it's also the difference, because I suppose everyone's super cautious walking home, but they might not carry that caution into people, acquaintances and other figures, but you also shouldn't have to carry that caution with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's, I mean, walking is just a basic thing, and for us, we have so much to consider. And unfortunately, I'm one of those people who's had some really terrible experiences. And I can honestly say that most of the people who have been the cause of those experiences have came with a smile, you know, like they weren't creeps lurking in the shadows, like, you know, on my, they're people, you know.
I feel, especially if they are going to be, they don't want you to know that they're going to be creepy. So they're going to try and not act creepy.
Exactly. And then whenever they see fit, like, you know, the real them will come out. And I just think there are so many different ways in which women can be hurt, women can be victim to violence. And we, it's not like we don't have the case studies to share with the ones who need teaching about this. There's no excuse to not prepare young people, older people, whoever, for every possible scenario, because I think we've probably seen it all.
I feel like boundaries definitely is something that needs to be taught. It's just not. And particularly with the association for women that they might be being hysteric or crazy, you know, if they act a certain way, which is so historically rooted 200 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a shame it's like lingered. But particularly, even when women do try to put like these boundaries in, you know, like men can be like, so like, passive aggressive or annoyed that she might take those precautions or think that of him. Even something as simple as people may be meeting up off Tinder and wanting to meet in a public place.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some who are offended or think that it's an attack on them as a person. But I do think that we need to teach, you know, it's not necessarily about the particular person. It's just about women's safety. You can't tell who will be a good person and who won't be immediately, because the bad people are obviously going to try and hide it. And some women in those situations might feel intimidated by, I suppose, like the passive aggressiveness and might just not want to cause a problem or just become more agreeable.
Yeah, that is, I think that's definitely something that we need to unlearn. Do you know, I actually couldn't tell you how many guys I've asked if they're a serial killer. And they always laugh. That's what I find quite funny. A lot of people will laugh the first time. And I'm like, I'm laughing as well. But in my mind, I'm thinking, no, seriously. Like, are you going to kill me if I, like, you know, go this way with you or walk over? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's, I find it so funny.
To me, I think the humour would be if they were a serial killer. They're probably not going to tell you.
No, I know. But it's almost like you can tell a lot from the, like, the way a person reacts. Like you just said, you know, a woman might say, can we meet in a public place? And then some guys will get really offended by it. Those little things, although it may come across as just a joke, like, you know, I mean, I'm not dead yet. So maybe there's something to it. Ladies, don't be afraid to ask, are you a serial killer? See how they act and then go from there.
You know, I had that myself. In my first year of university, somebody I knew, his mum was very tragically murdered by her boyfriend. And I had seen them maybe a week, maybe most before that. I don't know why. It just scared me so much because I like seen him, and I don't know why, I just had this notion that you would just know if somebody was capable of that. But the truth is that you don't just know. That's why there's so many victims.
But in a way, I feel like it's almost a defense mechanism in a way, because as much as guys may not realize it, we don't want to be walking around thinking all of you are trash, you know, and horrible and scary and disgusting and are going to hurt us. But that's just a reality that as women that we have to live. So maybe it's a defense mechanism, thinking to ourselves, oh, you know, no, I don't think that person would ever be capable of that. But as long as in the back of your mind, you know that anybody is capable of anything at any moment, that's all you can. It's so ridiculous to say like that's all that you can really do. And that's just what bugs me. There needs to be so much more. But I don't believe that Sarah's situation is going to change anything, because it hasn't. I mean, even the fact that it's a police officer, I'm sure he's not the first psycho to come out of the Met, you know?
And what do you think about the publicity that, I would say, like, everybody knows Sarah's name, but not too many people know the police officer's name? Like, obviously, I'm not saying publicize or sensationalize him. You know, what are your thoughts?
It's such a fine line to walk, because it needs to be about these women who, you know, end up in situations like this, but keeping the focus on the women all the time. I feel like it allows them to just slip through the net. They shouldn't be allowed to just come out of prison. If he even goes to prison, like, that's just something else. And, you know, get on with their lives, have a new identity maybe. It shouldn't be allowed.
And like, talking of prison, what, you know, we have no idea on these charges of the women arrested yesterday.
Oh my God, I know. Honestly, I don't, it's the same with, you know, all of those at the BLM protests, not the ones who were looting, obviously, but the ones who were just peacefully walking, you know, protesting.
And attacked as well.
Yeah, how do you explain that away? See, their lives are ruined. That criminal record could stop them from getting a job. And what scares me as well is, you know, the mayoral elections are coming up again this year. And you've got the Conservative candidate, Sean Bailey, I believe his name is, wanting to put, like, I think it's 80,000 or 8,000, like, more police on our streets. And I think before you even think about increasing the numbers of police, they need to go back to whatever training academy or school or psychiatrist that they came from, and they need complete reform.
I feel like the same in America, though. I think studies came out that their amount of physical training comes down to 2 days, and that's it, on how to, like, apprehend and restrain somebody. And obviously there are so many movements to change that, and it just kind of got swept under the carpet. Sadly, it almost seems as though it was a trend, and the trend's just simmered down.
Yeah, of course. That's exactly the same thing that's going to happen with, you know, the Sarah situation. Once the newspapers get bored, it will probably be quiet again until the trial. And then it might be around for another 2 weeks or however long the trial will go on for, because they apprehended him pretty quickly. So maybe it will be a pretty open and shut trial. I don't really know, but it will be around then. And then everyone will go back to just doing what they're doing. And it sucks, because there are people who work for organizations, whether it's locally or nationally, and they live and breathe this stuff, you know, like, they're fighting every single day. They don't get the publicity, or they don't get people listening to them. They just can't get people to care unless something like what happened to Sarah happens. Yeah. Can I ask you, what do you, I don't know if you saw it, but one of the opinion pieces, maybe, or it might have even been news, I really just, after like day two or three of this week, I kind of had to switch off because it was all just getting too much. One of the articles was like, she was fully dressed. She wasn't wearing anything provocative. She had bright clothes on, and this still happened to her. Like, what do you have to say about that? What do you think of that? Because I don't know if it's just me, but that heading really like just got under my skin.
It's almost, I would be cautious. Would people still be so outraged if she was in revealing clothing? Would they have said, well, she should have worn more clothes then? And that's not the case anyway. I brought up in one of my articles this exhibition in Belgium, and it's a really horrible exhibition to look at, but that's exactly why you should. It has clothing from sexual assault victims, and what were they wearing when it happened to counter this? Well, if you don't wear revealing clothing, it won't happen to you. And there's like children's pajamas, there's nurse uniforms that they're completely covered up. It has nothing to do with what you're wearing.
Yeah, this is, it's kind of like what I said in the new issue of like, well, that happened, comes out today. My point is like that heading, you're absolutely right. It irritated me because I don't think people, the fact that somebody even said that, it's kind of like two fingers up to women who might have been on a night out wearing something revealing and, got murdered or attacked. It shouldn't matter what you wear at all. There's always one person who's this will happen to that kind of pulls on the public's heartstrings a little bit more than somebody else. And that's not Sarah's, I don't want this to be interpreted like in the wrong way at all. Like obviously that has nothing to do with Sarah whatsoever. But the same way that you said, would people still care if she was wearing revealing clothing? Like, would people still care if she wasn't a graduate from the University of Durham? Would they still care if she wasn't white? And that is horrible to even think that. But the two women who I mentioned earlier who were murdered in January, one of them was black, one of them was Asian, and I don't even know their names.
It almost becomes a really sad game of how many more women, how many more people need to suffer that way for
Yeah,
reform or for change to
and
happen.
it will continue. I don't know what the solution is. That's the thing. Like, but I'm just me. There are people out that, they've changed laws and implemented systems and other kinds of reform before. But why should this be any different? We've seen it happen, so we know that it can happen. It's a matter of will. Just like housing all the homeless people during lockdown, they when they did finally, pull their finger out, that happened at quite a swift pace. And lots of homeless people got to spend time in hotels off the streets and then move on to other places. It's just a matter of will. And nobody in, that position of power really gives a crap. And that's why things aren't going to change. The people up there aren't changing, so things can't change for us down here unless we do it ourselves. And then even then, that's, temporary change.
Okay, so one question I have for you. What would be your Saskia solution?
I mean, there are people like me and you, we can have a very diplomatic conversation, even if we have differences of opinions. But this is how the government should work. It's I genuinely believe that everything comes down to like communication. I know that sounds like so basic, whatever, but everything
More
comes.
communication would solve so many
It isn't
problems.
it just the slightest misunderstanding, like mispronunciation of a word, or even leaving out a word changes like the whole sentence and its meaning.
So communication is the Saskia solution.
Yes. Communication, open on, about whether it's sexual violence against women by men, because let's not allow them to be so elusive. Racism, bigotry, trans awareness as well, because trans women get it really, really hard.
Yeah, there's these 97% of women, but we don't even know the statistics for transgender women. On a positive note for progress, I feel like it's good that these statistics have come out. It's no longer just somebody's experience you know, women have been saying this for years. Now that these statistics are out in the open, it's no longer an opinion or something that somebody just says. It's just a fact.
See, it's good that we have this now to back us up, but at the same time, like, how awful is that? Like, that it's just a fact that 97% of women have all been, like, sexually assaulted. It's a horrible, it's just a gross number. It's a gross percentage, and it is so, so scary when you look at it. Like, no matter what way you look at it, I was going to say when you look at it in hindsight, but no matter what way you look at it, it's horrible.
No, it really is. But it is also nice to finally give the topic some coverage. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us today.
I need to vent about it. I need to get it out. So thank you for letting me do that as well.
If you'd like to find Saskia on her socials, she's at sincerely.saskia, or you can find her articles over at Voice Magazine. And thank you for listening to today's podcast. Today's episode was made possible by Voice Magazine, an online platform for young people interested in art and culture. You can read Voice over at voicemag.uk and find it on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Voicemag UK. The Voice contributors are also on Instagram over at voice.extra. If you are looking for another podcast to listen to, the contributors release the Voice Extra podcast every Saturday, where they talk about the pieces they've produced and the culture they've been enjoying. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider helping us to make more with a donation of any amount at voicemag.uk/donate. Thanks to Kevin MacLeod for the use of the track Thief in the Night. You can find more of his work on incomputech.com. L. Farrell Kingsley was a sound engineer and producer. Saskia Kaliste and Tom Innes were the executive producers.